Welcome back to Prime Your Midlife. I am your host, Chris Wilson. Today, I am going to share a conversation with Kelly West, one of the owners and founders of The Only Network. But this isn't really about business. It's about parental challenges, couples challenges, relationship challenges, life challenges, and how to be resilient when life just chucks you unexpected challenges. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to Prime Your Midlife. And this is all about Men's Health Awareness Month. And as part of my five fundamentals, relationships is a key fundamental. And it's sometimes the thing that we don't spend enough time on. But as we get older, it becomes something that can be regretted because we have missed an opportunity to be good on relationship. And today I've got the founder of the Only Networking National Group, Kelly West.
Hi, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a true pleasure. Kelly, we're going to go into something that's, well, it's something that's a little bit new to me, which is global development delay, which is associated with your beautiful daughter, Kennedy.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. And this must add, this is the first time I've publicly spoken about this in this context as well. So thank you, Chris.
Well, I'm truly flattered and humbled that you've chosen me to be vulnerable with about this really important topic. And we've used it today to talk about resilience and perseverance that perhaps are needed in relationships. But just before we get into that, could you just frame where you think that phrase midlife is for people? Do you think it's a crisis opportunity or do you think it's a mindset opportunity, Kelly?
Wow, brilliant question. Mindset, definitely. And as you mentioned the word midlife, I thought, my goodness, I'm that age that I'm having a conversation about midlife crisis. Something I struggled with, in all honesty, when I hit 30, I went to New York. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to think about it. Now I've passed 40 and James, my husband, always says to me, if I hear you, be derogatory about yourself one more time. You know, you're in this moment, be in this space. So it's absolutely a mindset. And I'm saying that to cement my own thoughts as much as anybody else's. Yeah, absolutely. It should just be a number, shouldn't it? But, you know.
Well, it should be. I'm a great believer of thoughts create feelings, feelings create behaviours, and how we think about it. And the fact that we stigmatise midlife with the word crisis, I think, is in itself something that is self-persecuting.
Yeah. Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Global development delay is a sentence that I've not heard before, to be fair, until we came across each other in Only. And then I've dug deeper on it. But just to help the audience with a few yes, no answers to that. Kelly, do you think that everybody understands what global development delay is?
No. Definitely
and
not.
If they saw Kennedy in a restaurant in Brighton, misbehaving, do you think that they would think they knew everything that was going on behind the scenes?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, at first glance, yes.
And would you say it's fair that, well, yes or no, have you found yourself in any situations in life whereby you felt intimidated or worried about places that you might be going because of how your family ecosystem has to operate?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
All right. Can you just help everybody understand what global development delay is in terms of Kennedy? And then we'll then move into how that has enabled you to run your own business whilst also giving what's necessary for Kennedy. So first of all, just in your own words, could you just summarize what Kennedy has to face up to on a daily basis?
Yeah, of course. So global development delay, this is going to start with the negative and then we'll move it into the positive because I'm very much a believer that she's amazing. She brings such light to our family. So global development delay for me is a capture all label when there maybe isn't any other diagnoses that are applicable to that person. And it's certainly the first label that Kennedy ever got. So at the age of two, she didn't respond like a normal two-year-old. She didn't have those interactions. She didn't really have any emotions. If you sat her on the floor, she'd still be there 4 hours later if you left her there. So she didn't try and do anything herself. If you roll that forward now, she's 16. She now has ADHD and autism diagnosis, as well as a genetic disorder. But if you think about that global development delay, that basically means all aspects of Kennedy are delayed. So her speech, her communication, her language understanding, it was, you know, crawling, walking, all of those things were massively delayed. And we always thought, do you know what, we'll wake up one day and we'll have that magic wand and she will have caught up and she will be absolutely fine and we'll have a normal, healthy life. No, of course not. You know, I've come to terms with that many years ago. She's now a 16-year-old with a 2.5 to 3-year-old brain. So globally delayed in all of those areas and likened to that of a toddler in an adult's body.
But like you said, she's beautiful and she brings so much happiness to you.
Yeah,
and really in terms of you and James, can you just help understand for us all how you two first met and where Kennedy was in terms of part of you and how that was then something that you introduced to James?
Sure. We spoke about this, didn't we, Chris? I'm a firm believer of, you know, you shouldn't really regret anything that's happened in your life because it's made you who you are. So I tell this story not because I wanted to wear it as a badge of honour, but because it's who I was. It's where I was in my life. Would I choose to have done that again? No, but, you know, we are who we are. So I was actually married for 10 years previously, prior to meeting James. So that's Kennedy's father. And Kennedy actually probably was a... one of the deciding factors in that relationship, that marriage breakdown, because it's very, very hard to bring up a child in the unknown and not knowing what's happened and you're busy and all the rest of it. So I was actually still married when I met James, living with my ex-husband, and we'd come to a point where we were more like brother and sister. We got on well, but we just functioned in this relationship where we looked after each other and we looked after Kennedy and Kearney, my eldest daughter. And time just went on. Time just went on and we've got folders like this big, tons of these folders with reports and different professionals that had looked at Kennedy, and it just all became all encompassing to the point where I'd get letters, and I've still got them now. I didn't even open them because you didn't want to read anything negative again. It's like, it's going to be what it will be. So when I met James 9 years ago now, it was like a breath of fresh air. It was like somebody had just opened the windows and the doors and this gush of air just came rushing in and it cleared my head, and it just made me feel like this is what love is meant to feel like. This is what a proper loving relationship is meant to feel like. Somebody that you've instantly fallen in love with and you just want to spend the rest of your life with. But then in the back of my head, I've got this niggle of, but you've got this daughter that isn't normal. I mean, are any of us normal? And how is that going to feel? How is he going to feel about that? So for me, it was about A, being very honest, that things went very quickly for James and I. We met at networking, we had a one-to-one and we hit it off instantly. Okay, so in that one-to-one I had to explain I'm actually married, you know, and we then had to work out, well, is this something we want to pursue, is it not, what do we have to do in terms to be together? So move that through a very tricky probably 6 to 12 months, introducing Kennedy to James. He won't mind me saying this, I did ask him if I could share this story. He came to meet her off of the bus. So Kennedy goes to a special school and she was 7 at the time. Very sweet, very cute little girl, because to look at her, she looks completely normal. There doesn't appear to be anything wrong with her. She gets off the bus all bouncy and he passes her this Lego that he'd bought her. And she just looked at it and he went, oh, can she do Lego? And I'm like, no. Imagine giving her 2.5. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And I said, please don't apologize. You don't need to apologize. We'll sit with her and we'll look at it. She'll play with it for 10 minutes and then it'll just get put in the cupboard. So it was about, for me at that point, it was then very much looking at Kennedy from a different perspective, kind of that everyday Groundhog Day that I'd had with her. I had to revisit it and kind of live it with a new, fresh set of eyes, because that was where James was. He didn't have that whole 7 years of kind of professionals and part diagnosis and push from pillar to post, he saw her as this person and he wanted to get her from here into young adulthood. So how did we then go on that journey? And, you know, thinking about it now and talking about it, it's like, actually, that gave me that second wind and that ability to go, it's fine. We can do this and we can make this the best we possibly can make it. So, yeah, I owe a lot to James. I really do.
And I know you obviously both have come from a previous relationship. If you could look back on those two relationships, what are the lessons that you have taken into your relationship together that you think has created this match now where you are, like you say, this breath of fresh air and you now truly know what love is? Have you got any snippets of the lessons of your past that now creates the future certainty together?
Oh, most definitely. And I'm always really proud of the fact that, so James has three children from a previous relationship, three boys, and I've got two girls. We don't have any children together. And for me, that shows how strong we are, because everything we go through, everything we face, we don't have to be together for the kids. We're together because we want to be together. We're very much in love with each other. You know, he makes me smile every time he walks in the room and I see his face on it. He just makes me smile. You know, that never dies. It never gets old. But ultimately, James stayed in a relationship for 18 years because of the children. Okay, very toxic relationship, very poor mental health as a result of it. And he stayed for the children. I was the complete opposite. I never thought that that was a good thing to do because I'd seen that with my own parents. And Kearney's my eldest daughter. I split up with her father when she was two. And then I was faced with that again when Kennedy was seven. I had a second failed relationship, but that time a 10-year marriage. So for me, it was about, I needed to become less selfish because I very much put me first in both of those relationships. And for James, it was to become more selfish because he needed to really look after himself. And I can remember when he met me and he said, right, I'm not going to treat you like a princess. I am not going to put you on a pedestal. And part of me was like, oh, how am I going to deal with that? Because that's kind of what I was used to. But it was absolutely what I needed to hear. He does. Of course he does. He makes me feel amazing. But I don't want to be that person because I saw how that made my two really important relationships fail quite quickly because I just thought of myself and I didn't really worry about anything else. James being the complete opposite needed to spend that time to think, okay, well, I can be a bit more selfish. I can think about myself and I can still be a very loving partner in this space. So I think the two of us bringing closer to the middle, and we do that in work, personal life. We're very opposite. We are very opposite. So the opposites attract does definitely work. So two extremes, and we kind of bring ourselves into the middle of that space.
And in the midst of all that, you run a successful business with, what, 350, 400 members. Yeah. You've got some masterminds and some other things going on.
Yeah.
You've got three kids on one side, two on the other, and Kennedy in the middle of that that's got global development delay. Some would say, well, as stuff goes, it's pretty deep kind of around the nostrils and I'm floundering a little bit. How do you juggle everything that's going on and still have time? I know we talked about it just before you came on about your Saturday just being bliss because you were basically just in harmony around the house enjoying yourself.
Yeah.
Amongst all those moving parts, how, Kelly, do you do it?
Give a busy person something to do and they get it done, I guess, is the easy answer. But in reality, I'm massively grateful for my life. Like, honestly, everything that I'm faced with, I truly believe that it's there for a reason. It's happened for a reason. And I could sit in a space of self-pity and I could think, oh, why have I got a daughter? You know, it doesn't matter, does it? For whatever reason, she is the way she is. She's healthy, happy most of the time, except when she's moaning at me, which is quite a lot of the time. But, you know, we look past that one. I think I want to be the best person I can be for me, first and foremost. And then I want to be the best person I can be for everybody around me. So why wouldn't I push myself and make myself a better version of that? You know, I'm by no means a fitness freak or a health fanatic, but I can recognize that when I do indulge in more exercise and I eat healthier, makes me a better person. I've got more energy and I feel better. Therefore, I can give that to other people. So I think it's been a roller coaster, and Only is an incredibly important business for us because it is a family business. It's a network that James and I created together. So in essence, it's our baby. We don't have children together, but we've created this massive community that means such a lot to us. So it's been hard to not get too emotionally attached, particularly in the workspace. And I think we're working on that even now, just to kind of sit back a little bit and make sure that we are not too in it, because it is hard to detach yourself. But I think for me, it is about always recognizing that as long as we share our end goal and we know where this journey is taking us and we agree that that's the journey that we want to be on, we just keep going. And we recognize that it's not always going to be smooth sailing, because you do have to dust yourself off, pick yourself back up, get going, you know, keep moving forward. And I said to you before the call, Chris, we've had a 15-month DWP, Department of Work and Pensions battle that ended on Monday in a tribunal. You know, they are not little things that come up and bite us. They are big things, but it's about not getting hysterical and taking one step at a time.
And by the way, congratulations on that success, which I know is a great outcome for you.
Thank you.
And that just shows your determination to push past the no's, or push past the it's not going to happen. And fair play to you and James, just to say, you may well say no now, but you haven't seen the best of me yet in terms of my desire to get tenacious with my success outcome.
Yeah.
When you had that, you must start the day and you have a plan. And then Kennedy kind of says, no, this is my plan, because I am basically still a 7-year-old in a 16-year-old's body. How do you construct the plan and then face into the fact that often the relationship plan or the work plan is literally ripped up because of circumstances that are not within your control of influence?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she is medically 2.5, 3-year-old in a 16-year-old body. So you can't tell a 2.5, 3-year-old to sit quietly while you're on a phone call or on a Zoom call. You can't let them occupy themselves. They don't do it. And there's less tolerance from people when they see a 16-year-old acting like a 2, 3-year-old until they know the full story. So, you know, I don't ever shy away from that. It is what it is. And the right people will understand the way it is and they'll accept it. And if they don't, then it's probably not somebody I want in my sphere anyway. But with all the best intentions, I don't think there's probably a week that goes by where there isn't a knock on for some reason. You know, Storm Kieran, the school got shut on Thursday. So we had 5 meetings, 2 only meetings that one of us was at least going to be on, and one-to-one. So on that instance, it was okay. My mum lives around the corner. We've got a very close family and we were able to ask her to help out. So family is very important to us because we all help each other. So we're all in this together and we all muck in. But we've had to kind of almost become interchangeable. So James will have to do meetings on his own without me, or, you know, literally at the drop of a hat, we could be on a call and I'll have to go because the phone's ringing because she's with a carer and she's been sick in Tesco's and I've got to go and get her. So we have to be hyper aware at all stages, not only just to recognise that maybe one person's going to have to drop out at the drop of a hat, but be aware enough to know where we are at in that moment in time so that we can pick up for the other one seamlessly without it looking like everything's fallen apart. And don't get me wrong, we've had many conversations about this. Are we doing the right thing? Should we be growing a big business, a national and now international business, given what we have to deal with personally? And the answer is, yeah, of course we should. Why wouldn't we do that? It's incredibly important to us. And the reason that we want to grow it is to facilitate a future for us with Kennedy in the right space. And some people might think we've done that the wrong way around because you're not giving her the time that she needs. I recognise that. I can't be the person that sits with her 24/7, and that I don't have that capacity. I don't have the ability to do that, okay? Love my girls to bits, but I am not a mumsy mum. I was never baking or doing arts and crafts and all of that stuff. But that doesn't mean that I am not their number one fan and their number one supporter. So for me, I have to be able to recognise that work is incredibly important for me. Career is important for me. So are the girls. And sometimes they go like this. one has to take priority over the other sometimes. Ultimately, family has to come first and the girls come first, of course. But life doesn't balance with work. It doesn't, not when you're a business owner. So it's about recognizing that you can be comfortable in that space too. And sometimes they have to go with their nan because, you know, the Storm Kieran's blown through the school, et cetera, et cetera. So it's about having a contingency plan and also not sweating the small stuff. But I think when you can let go of the small things and you don't get hung up on, oh gosh, I don't know, the server in the restaurant gave you the wrong food. So what? Doesn't matter, does it? It's not the end of the world. Either order new food or get them to bring you the right order. There's just no point filling your head with all of that stuff that when you then do face an actual problem, you're just full of capacity of all the small things that you just don't have anywhere for that to go. So I'm very much a believer of my capacity is much higher than most for the big stuff because I let the small stuff go.
Yeah. What about between the two of you? Because there's a huge amount of demand on your time, both from the business and also from your different sets of children.
Yeah.
A lot of relationships sort of play this, what I call tennis combat, where they say, I've got this and I've got that. And then the other person says, yeah, but I've got this. And then the other person almost sort of aces it and trumps it with their own stuff. And it becomes this ego trade-off of my stuff's worse than your stuff. Is that something that you are aware of cognitively, or do you just think, do you know what? I've been there and I'm not going to rehearse that same act again.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I'm a completely different person in this relationship than I was to the two previously. And James will say the same. Obviously, his was a lot longer, so just one relationship. But we definitely went through a period of that, particularly when we first got together, you know, a blended family to that magnitude with lots of other stuff that came in around it was pretty horrendous. And when we sit down and we look back, we think, how on earth did we get through it? Honestly, I don't know how we did. I really don't. But what I can say is we have pretty much left all of that behind us, unless you're having one of those days where you're like, please don't keep telling me how bad it is for you. I'm just going to remind you what it's like for me. You know, the odd one off that you just feel a little bit hard done by and you chuck your two pennies in. But I think I'm very grateful that James has pretty much come into my life. So Kennedy does dictate that she does need the attention. She does need to be all present and she does need stability and certainty. So I'll be forever grateful for James for coming into that and having to explain to the wider family and his children alike that that was the choice he was making because he needed to do that for himself. You know, he'd been there for them. They're older. The children are much older now. So we're not talking about youngsters and making sure that they understand that we're there for them. Of course we are, you know, of course we are. But this is how his life has moved on and this is where he needs to be. So I can't stress enough how without him, my life wouldn't be as it is. So I think it's just very much about that two-way part of the relationship and being open-minded enough to understand and appreciate actually what is going on there and what the other person is bringing to the party.
Mm. And do you have any sort of summit meetings where you talked about your need to juggle and you can't be there 24 hours a day simply because that's not what works for Kelly. How do you two both say, this is what I need this week, or this is what I'm missing, or I just need to share something with you? Do you plan it in a strategic way? Does it happen ad hoc? Or does Kennedy say, you two are about to have a massive, I know she can't communicate in that fashion, but how do you just say, I just need Kelly time without it being competitive sport?
Yeah, definitely. It is quite funny, actually. Kennedy will sense a row coming at 100 paces. So she can communicate, but not that well. We can understand. And quite often she'll feel rumblings of something not quite right. And she'll say, Mummy, James annoying? I'll be like, no, Kennedy. James is not me, and he will ignore it, you know. So she can kind of sense it happening.
James sat there going, I am actually.
Exactly. It's your mother. It's not me. I think we've got really good, again, trying not to sweat the small stuff. We've had some cracking rails over numerous years of, you know, in the early days of us getting together, and we still have a Barney now. I think anybody that says they don't, there's either something wrong with them or they're lying, because I think you do need to clear the air, don't you? But what we're really good at sensing each other, because listen, if we're in a good relationship, we should be able to sense the other person as much as ourselves, shouldn't we? We should be on alert enough that we know that that person that we've dedicated our life to, that we love more than anything, isn't in a good place, okay? And if that person's not in a good place, we should kind of have a few pillars as to why is that? Are they hungry? Are they tired? Or is there something bigger? Have I annoyed them? What have I done to upset them? What's their day been like today, particularly for us when we work together? So I think for James and I, we are together 24/7. So it's very easy for us to see if something's upset the other one and if that escalates. I think it's also incredibly important not to jump on it too early. And we made this mistake a few years ago. We would be so aware of the other person that we would want to iron out any issues before they'd even started. And now roll that on to nearly 10 years together. You've got to let that go, haven't you, for a bit? You've got to let us see where it naturally ends. And then if it's still there, maybe ignore it for a little bit longer and see what's happening. You know, maybe try and lift the mood a little bit, be a little bit more positive. And if that's not really helping, then it's a concern. And you say, right, should we have a chat? What's going on? And I think, again, it's not getting hysterical. And I have to hold my hands up to this one. I am uber positive. Like, I am the most positive person you'll meet. I manage to turn the worst of scenarios into the good. And it drives James potty, because he says, sometimes I don't want to hear the good. I just want to moan. And that's not me. Like, you're talking to the wrong person if that's the case. So again, it's about coming into the middle and recognizing that just because I'm the person I am, I can't imprint that on you completely. I can't overlay my whole map onto you, because it's not going to fit. It's not going to be right. So I think for me, it's been about recognizing when to stop, when to just enough, like Kelly, enough, dampen it now and listen. Just listen to what this person needs. Listen to what James is telling you. And likewise for James, it's a case of recognizing that he's talking to me. So I'm of course going to react in a certain way, and he can't change my personality, but it's about recognizing that that comes from the best of intentions and best of spaces. And equally in return, you know, when I have a moment to James about something, he will more naturally have a tendency to agree with me, because he's more negative than me in that space. But then recognizing that, well, I'm talking to James, so he's going to do that. So there's no point me getting upset with him for doing that, because that's who he is. I think it's just that hyper-aware looking out for certain things. I can tell very quickly. I can look at James and I can tell. I always say to him, well, your eyes go dark when you're not feeling great. I don't know what it is. They don't, do they? They don't change at all. But for me, I'm tuned into it. So it might be a case of going, right, we don't have Kennedy tonight. She's with my mum or she's with her dad. Why don't we just go out for a meal or do something? And remembering that we're partners, we're husband and wife, and that you can't forget that that's a huge part of who we are as well, because that does sometimes get left on the back burner.
Mm. And do you find sometimes that it's hard for you to suppress your positive instincts to say to James, oh, come on, no, it's going to be fine. And he's kind of going, actually, it's not. And you wanting to try to fix that, but the fixer sometimes doesn't want to be fixed. I know that doesn't sound right, but you know, James just wants to rest sometimes and just go, I actually want to feel anxious about this. I actually want to sit and worry about this, because that fight and flight mechanism of understanding what's wrong enables me to see the path.
Yeah.
How do you juggle that within your own psychology to say, shut up, Kelly, just let James be James here?
Hard, really hard. Probably one of the hardest things I do, because that is not my natural standing point. And almost like, I'll sound really, maybe a bit cold here. I can't understand why somebody wouldn't want to see the best, wouldn't want to try and turn it around, wouldn't want to try. And so I am very lucky. I've been blessed with incredibly good mental health. I've never suffered with depression. I've never suffered with anxiety. So I am aware that I am probably in the minority. So for me, it is really hard to understand that space. Mm. I'm blessed to have been with James, who has suffered with incredibly poor mental health. So I've seen it secondhand and I know how debilitating it is. So that has taught me a lot, a huge amount, because we are all different. We need different things. And sometimes he just wants to vent. And I almost have to bite my tongue. I literally bite my tongue. I bite the inside of my lip to remind myself, like, just stop. This is not about you in this moment in time. This is about him. So just keep remembering what it is he needs from you at this moment in time. And I think this used to cause big rows for us, because I'd be like, yeah, but come on, look at it. And he's like, no, I don't want to look at it from that way. I just want to talk about this. And I'm like, oh, come on, James. And I'd get really cross and it'd cause a big argument. I've had to learn a lot, in so much as when you're in that space, there's nothing more frustrating, is it? And some do get to come along telling you how great it's going to be when you just do not feel that way. I mean, what was I thinking? That was ridiculous. So he has taught me an awful lot. And do you know what made me understand even more how incredibly lucky I am for the resilience and the positive mindset that I've been blessed with, in all honesty. And I do think I'm in a minority. So it's my massive takeaway from that is treat people how they want to be treated, not how you want to be treated.
Yeah, or just ask the question. That's a really important point. How can I best serve you right now? Because often we decide what we think the solution is. And actually, the solution is what we want to say or feel or act on. And the person that we are in love with might just say, I just need you to shut up and let me find my path here. And when I'm ready, we'll talk about it. But right now, I don't need your positive kind of woo, 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 everything's going to be fine, Kelly. Mantra.
But also making sure that you don't sound like a sarcastic sod in that place, because if I then went to James and went, well, tell me how you want me to deal with this, James, that's not my language, that's not my speak, that's not the way I would be. And that, when I first started to try and do this, I thought, okay, well, I'll do that, I'll ask him, you know, how do you want me to react with this, what do you want me to do? He just thought I was being sarcastic. Of course he did, because that's not how I would normally talk. So it's about working out how you can be in that space with authenticity, hate that word, but with authenticity, but making sure that you're not winding the other person up. So, you know, and in all honesty, it's just shutting up sometimes.
Yeah.
Not inputting, just being quiet and letting it go and see where it takes you.
Okay. If you were to look back, you know, across 16 years, and let's just say that, you know, it was you and James and Kennedy was arriving into the world. And then slowly but surely, you notice that something's not quite right. And let's just say we're now a couple that's in their 20s and they've got a 1-2-year-old and they're just noticing that things aren't quite as they would expect them to be in that natural instinct. What kind of lessons would you now look back on for a thriving relationship to say, we're going to be fine, we can get through this, but we're going to see some big bumps along the road? What would be your takeaways backwards now to Kelly of 16 years ago, assuming you and James were together?
Good question. I think about this quite a lot. We know time goes very quickly, but in that space, time goes incredibly quickly. You know, we've just won a tribunal that I should have done 10 years ago. So don't let these things fester. Don't let time take you over. Don't let life pass you by, in all fairness. And don't take for granted that life is always going to be that way, because things can change. You know, in the global development delay space, no, they don't change that dramatically. You can see kind of certain spikes in abilities and enhancements, but it's about recognizing what is actually in front of you and the ability of that child or, you know, that person that you're dealing with. I did bury my head in the sand. You know, I just thought it's going to be all right one day, be fine. It's not, is it? It's not. It is fine. Of course it is. It's absolutely, I wouldn't change. And I seriously wouldn't change her. She brings so much joy to our life. But in terms of the relationship, I think knowing what your role is within that relationship is incredibly important, and not to take each other for granted. So there are a lot of specialist appointments. There are a lot of school chats. There are a lot of you know, needing to be with the child because they need your support like a 2 to 3 year old does. And it's about working out how, as a couple, you break that down and you take that burden, you take the brunt of that burden as and when you need to, and that you try and make it as fair as possible. I can always remember with my ex-husband, you know, he worked incredibly hard, director of a business, global company, and had to work till 11 o'clock sometimes. I'd feel really annoyed with him when he got in because I'd been at home and I'd had to deal with Kennedy all day. I mean, how ridiculous was that? I was sat at home with Kennedy. I had the much better end of the bargain there, and I can see that now. But tackling those conversations when they arise and when you feel them, and not letting them fester and become something that they don't need to be. I think if it was myself and James had gone through this, it would almost be like working out, what do you want the goal to be? Where do you want this journey to take you? And how can we help each other on those steps of that journey? And at what point do we have to check in with each other? And what point do we have to recognize maybe this is not going according to plan, rather than just letting it happen and then building as a result of what you've destructed behind you?
I really like that. If anybody's listening, I'd urge you to just rewind that last minute, because a lot of Kelly's language was about, what do you want? What do you feel you need? And then how do we almost sort of meet each other from two opposite tennis players at the net to talk about how we can create a good game with each other? Yeah. But the first thing was understanding we might both be on separate sides of the net, but we need to come together as one before we can create, almost a good doubles match.
Yeah.
I love that.
Definitely. And also not, you know, I say this a lot lately. I feel like I've almost lost myself a little bit. Don't get your violin out. I'm absolutely fine with it. But I can remember a business coach saying to me, Kelly, what do you actually do for you? You know, what do you do for Kelly time, downtime? And I came off of that call, and that was my only takeaway from that session. He said, drop me a WhatsApp and tell me what it is you do for you. And I thought about it for a couple of hours, and I was thinking, I don't know. So I went into the front room and I said to James, what do I do for myself? Coach has just asked me, and he went, well, you love cooking for us. And I went, yeah, and I cook from scratch. I really enjoy cooking, and I'm a bit elaborate with it all. And I'm like, yeah, I do, but I do that because it nourishes the family. But what do I actually do for me? And even now, I can't answer that. I don't really have hobbies. I don't really, but I'm okay with it. And about 2 months ago, I just went, I'm stopping stressing about this, because what I get absolute pleasure from is being with the family, like reading a book for 10 minutes when I've got a chance to do it. I don't want to tie myself down to something that I may not be able to commit to, because I'm already at a lot of capacity everywhere I look. So why would I take up a hobby or an interest that is just going to add more pressure for me to go and spend time in that space when I'm so thinly spread anyway? So that would be a big thing for me, to, if anybody's listening, to say, don't pile more pressure on yourself. If you're happy in the space that you're in and you're being fulfilled through other things, you don't have to add another added pressure on, because that all comes in good time.
And that question, do you think it was something that coach felt they needed to ask because they couldn't possibly see themselves living in your shoes?
Probably. Yeah, no, most definitely. And I think that's where, unless you're in this space, you asked me at the beginning, do I believe that global development delay is something that people understand? No. And I wouldn't have understood it if I hadn't have been thrust into this world. So I wouldn't expect anybody to understand it. But if you have got anybody listening that is in that space, it's Groundhog Day. Mm. You live the same day every day with that person, okay? So you have to adapt your life in order to fit around that. And you do things in a different way. So, oh, most definitely, he would have, he probably thought, and I've never said this to him, he probably thought he was just asking a question that he'd ask any of his clients. And it has sat with me so much, and I've wrestled with it for probably 2 years now. He's not my coach anymore, but partly because I don't think he really understood me. Because if you did understand me, you'd understand that it'd be absolutely zero point me chucking something else into the mixing pot when I'm already at capacity. So, yeah.
Well, it's a really lovely reflection. You've got this amazing network, which is the only network, which I think is 350, 400 strong, which I'm a part of, just to full disclosure. And I absolutely love the community and the vibe and just the naturalness of the people that are in there. if you were to look forward, and I hate that question, looking forward 12 months, but using the talents that you've got of building a business and also knowing the lack of support that exists for parents in global development delay parenting relationships, because I've done, you know, I did some work and there's lots of work out there of what you need to give to your child, how to get support for your child, what mechanisms there are. Mm. But when you dig into it, there wasn't that much around how to be good parents and how to continue to have relationship support for each other. So if we were looking maybe 12 months, 24 months, wherever you decide in the North Star in the future, mm. using what you've done with the Only Network and knowing how much you've had to fight to get what is right for Kennedy and yourselves, tell us a story of what that imagination picture could look like for you.
I would love to support other parent carers in a similar space to me, whether that's through global development delay or disabilities, whatever they're facing. I think any parent that's trying to run a business, particularly as a partnership, when you're both in that space and you're trying to deal with the adversities that you've got facing with your child as well, I'd love to support business owners there, because I've kind of been there, done it, and I've faced a lot of hurdles along the way, so I understand how hard it is. I'm a business mentor anyway, so I'm probably already got this. I'm a solutionizer. I'm not just an ask question. I couldn't be a coach because I couldn't just throw out questions. I want to be able to solutionize everything. So I would really like to build a space that parent carers could come and talk about themselves primarily, because as you've said, there isn't really anywhere you can go to be part of a community that really cares about the carer. Like I'm part of a few sort of Facebook groups only because pediatricians said, oh, you know, get yourself into that. And it's very negative. It's about, oh gosh, this has happened today, or God, this is really bad. I don't want to hear that. You know, it's not all bad. There's an awful lot of positives as well. And I certainly don't want to be dealing with the negative. So I would love to see a space that parent carers could go to get good, honest advice and support, and just to be able to have conversations like we're having now. You know, how do you deal with your husband when he's strung out because he's been at work all day, and then the door opens and you've got your 2.5-year-old who's in a 16-year-old body throwing themselves on you because they just want to play and you really just can't be bothered? How does that feel for you? So, and I also think it depends on what county you live on. I'm in Hampshire and it's particularly poor. The care for people like Kennedy is particularly poor in Hampshire. Should we move? Should we go somewhere else? Who do you have those conversations with? You know, so I think a community for parent carers to be able to come together and support each other, remembering that they are not just defined by their child. They are people in their own right.
Mm-hmm. I'm a great believer in that any situation in life, there's always somebody behind you and there's always somebody ahead of you. The key thing, though, is to ask, how did they get to where they got? And somebody somewhere will show you the way. And I really believe, Kelly, that using your talents of a mother, a business owner, and a support advisor, as you talk about, there's a great destiny there that I'm sure that you're going to bring an awful lot of value to an awful lot of people.
Thank you. Yeah, I hope so.
Just talking about Kennedy, can you help us understand some pure moments of joy that just says, no matter how hard, no matter how tough, no matter how resilient testing it is, this is joy in a bundle?
I can. Can I swear?
Help yourself.
Okay. I thought I'd just ask this first because this is the best anecdote we have. So Kennedy is very pure. You know, what's going on in her head is absolutely in her head. And her favourite game is who's best. So over dinner, James will say, so who's best, Mummy or Jamesy? Mummy. Like, there's no filter. There's no whatever's in her head. It's happening. Okay. So one day, Kennedy and James, actually, because James has suffered with pretty poor mental health, he understands the anxiety that Kennedy feels. So they have a real love-hate relationship. Like, one minute they're the best friends, next minute, you know, she doesn't want to talk to him. So the school bus turned up to come and get her one day, and we opened the door. She toddles off out. Sam opens the door to let her on the bus. Kennedy steps up to the top step of the bus. James shouts out, bye, Kennedy, have a good day. She turned round with a cheery little wave. Bye, you bastard, at the top of her voice. with the neighbours outside. Like, it was loving. It was done in a loving tone. She was telling him she wasn't particularly happy with him at the moment in time. And I've got tons of those stories, you know, just the purity of the innocence, really. You know, I very much liken it to having a conversation with a 2-3-year-old. They're not giving you any BS. They are telling you how it is, and you're going to deal with it.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing James the next time I see him in a confidential chat room.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Oh, beautiful. The closing tradition, actually, I'm just going to go on to I sometimes talk about the fact that in life we climb different mountains, and we have our first mountain that is the mountain that we sometimes think that we should be pursuing because of political pressure or peer group pressure or just social norms. And then we get to our second life, which is a mountain that is a more purposeful one, that is a climb that we're enjoying. And sometimes we might even never find the summit, but we're just enjoying the journey. Where do you think you are on?
Where am I? I am really excited to say that I think I'm very close to that second part of the journey. Very excited. I've just been reading Days at the Morisaki Bookshop. I can't remember the name of the book. Okay, it's been translated from Japanese into English, and it talks about the simplicity of life and what you take for granted. And it made me think over the weekend, what do I really want life to be? Okay, I'm not going to dump everything, have a midlife crisis and go off and do something completely different. But what do I want this business to enable me to do in the second chapter of my life? So I think I'm 44 now. So I'd like to think by the time I'm 50, I will have completely nailed that, and I'll be on the journey to see what that second part looks like. If I had to tell you what it was, I'd love to own a little bookshop with a little coffee space in the corner. And I just want to meet lovely people and have conversations about the lovely books that they read. And I want to have an environment for them to come in and enjoy themselves and have a nice coffee. I'll never do this, Chris. And James will listen to this and laugh his head off. But that's my kind of second phase. That's what I'd like to do. Of course, I'm still running at me, but, you know.
Well, maybe it's just a big book club with lots of different virtual manuscripts being talked about and shared. It's a kind of a bookshop of, we're still having coffee, we're still talking, we're still meeting, we're still sharing stories. Perhaps it's just a really big bookstore without being a small one in the corner shop somewhere.
Do you know what? You've probably nailed something there. There you go. Watch this space. James will be cursing you later.
But what I'm picking up on is that, you know, you talked about midlife crisis. You're very astute of your natural feelings of, I'm not sure I'm quite happy with where I am, and listening to that and then going, well, what's that calling me? And maybe that's part of Kennedy's purity, that she's allowing you to just see the raw emotion of truth.
Yeah.
And then that's allowing you to rest with that and go, well, I'm not quite where I want to be. And as opposed to having a crisis, what am I going to do as a result of these thoughts? Is that fair?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, completely. We say this all the time. Kennedy grounds us. You know, I used to work in travel, so I'd have 7 or 8 holidays a year. It was easy because I saw all the bargains, you know, and we loved to travel before the pandemic, but we wouldn't have a business to the scale that we had if it wasn't for Kennedy, because we have to be here after school. You know, she's with us every other weekend. So she massively keeps us grounded. We have JK adventures, so James and Kelly adventures, and we go off and we, you know, we'll just drive somewhere new and explore and all the rest of it. That would be our whole life potentially if we didn't have the grounding of Kennedy. So I'm hugely grateful to her for that. But that also doesn't stop you thinking, but what could I do if the rain was let off a little bit more? So it's just getting that balance.
Well, we're going to finish with what I consider 3 fundamentals, and you can choose to answer however you wish. My normal is 3 fundamentals to live a long and healthy life. Or because we're talking about relationship, we could talk about 3 fundamentals for living a long and healthy couple's relationship. Entirely up to you. But Kelly, what would be your 3 fundamentals that you'd like to share today for anybody listening about the future that is long and healthy?
Okay, I've written these down because I wanted to make sure I had these right. I don't know what order to put them in. Let's go for eating well, first of all. And again, my family will laugh at me for this because I do love a calorie, particularly in a sticky toffee pudding. But I mentioned this earlier on. As I've got older, the feeling of eating healthily has become clearer and clearer that it has a massive impact on my day-to-day life, how it makes me feel. So eating healthily, making sure to drink lots of water sounds completely obvious, but that's only something I've done in the last year properly, has made a big, big difference to me, which leads me into number two, which is clarity. So when you're in a space of being able to be clear in your thoughts, to see where you want to go, to have a good plan in place, it makes the whole journey a lot easier. It really does. Clarity of thought, clarity of environment. So making sure, as she says, with lots and lots of stuff all around her, but having clarity in your workspace and in your mind, for me, enables you to be a better person. And the third one is boundaries. Okay, so making sure that you're living in comfortable boundaries. I am somebody who pushes my boundaries for everyone. Everyone else comes first. I don't want to say no to anybody. I want to make sure that I please everyone. And it's about making sure, particularly as I get older, that I bring those boundaries in just a little bit closer. I don't want to start saying no to people, but I don't want to start having a detrimental effect on me, because it did get to a stage where it was. And you can only cope with so much as a human. So it's about making sure that you don't put yourself in burnout and you don't put everyone else in front of you all of the time. So boundaries for me is definitely something that needs to be addressed.
Mm. And I think those three are very interconnected, isn't it? In terms of having clarity, clarity of boundaries is important, and then manifested itself on both of those. If you get stressed and you get anxious, then you start eating in a bad way and consuming things in a bad way, and particularly maybe having addictions. And then that manifests itself in terms of having a lack of clarity because you've not got the right cognitive thought process. And then you find yourself in some situations that you weren't comfortable in, and you've got a right old hodgepodge of stuff going on.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. So I've nailed it now. You'd be pleased to know.
But you know, there's nothing wrong with a sticky toffee pudding. It's just about balance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just don't eat two or three in one sitting is the key.
Oh. Oops.
Yeah. Definitely.
Kelly, I really, like I said to you at the start of the conversation, I really respect the work that you've done. And also, I want to thank you for the openness and the transparency you brought to our conversation today. And I'm really honored that you've chosen to share some of your takeaways today. If there are people out there, I know you've talked about having boundaries. Should there be somebody listening that just says, oh, Kelly, you've just warmed my heart today, that there's somebody out there that might just understand how I'm feeling, or she gets what I'm facing into on a daily basis, and some of the thoughts of, oh, not another day today, Kennedy. And that's their child. Where could you offer them support if there is an opportunity for you to maintain your boundaries, but also give some experience back?
I'd love that. You know, even if there's just one person listening to this that just needs a chat, I'd absolutely be happy to do that, because I would have loved that for myself. LinkedIn, Kelly West is quite a common name, but Only Networking, O-N-L-E. If you type both in, I'll appear, or my email address, kelly@theonly.network, only spelled O-N-L-E again. Very, very happy. I would never want anybody to not be able to have somebody to go and speak to. So yeah, absolutely do reach out.
Well, I'll make sure of those in the show notes. Is there a national body or a particular support organisation that you found useful for you and James that other people, again, might be able to go to?
Yeah, actually, one that we were only really introduced to this year. So the Maudsley Hospital in London, we were referred there. So they are a CAMHS, Children and Adult Mental Health Services provider. And we all have our local ones in our different regions, but they are the kind of the top of the tree for CAMHS. And because we weren't getting what we needed to on a local basis, we were referred to them. And actually, that was that moment when we were finally being listened to. And as a result, things are starting to turn. So Maudsley Hospital, if you can get involved in them, yeah, I would highly recommend it.
Kelly West, you are the epitome of my mantra, which is we only have one life. So love life, living life. And I congratulate you and applaud you for living life in that way.
Thank you, Chris. I really enjoyed chatting. Thank you.
there it is, another episode of Prime Your Midlife. The reflection for me really is to ask you, where are you taking things for granted? What relationships could you spend more time on? And most importantly, at that moment of, how can you just take a little bit of time out just to think, does this really matter? Enjoy whatever you're doing for the rest of the day today. Thank you, and please like or share the show.